Soon as I find mine, you open up your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter number 8. And you find that place, you stand to your feet. And we'll give reverence to the reading of the Word of God. Romans chapter number 8. If you pray for us tonight, I'd sure like to preach if the Lord will help us. And I'm trusting He will. I want to try to just follow the leadership of the Lord. Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8. And we'll read just a few verses there. And you hear in verse number 8:28. Bible says this, says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Verse 29, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. Whom He called, them He also justified. Whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we say then? What shall we then say to these things? Said, if God be for us, who can be against us? Heavenly Father, we bow our head before You one more time. And Lord, we sure pray tonight that God, that You would help us. Father, I pray that Lord, You would hide us behind the shadow of the cross, behind the Almighty. Father, I pray tonight that God, You would help us to be real small in the house of God. And Father, we didn't come to be seen or to be heard. But God, we did come, Lord, to deliver a message. And Father, I pray one that unless You help us, God, it won't do us not no good at all. Father, we did not come tonight just to preach word only. But God, I pray that You'd help us to say everything that He has said. God, by the unction and the power of the sweet Holy Ghost of God. Father, I'd ask You, Lord Jesus, tonight, as we've gathered in the house of God, and the Lord, as Brother Doug already attested to, as a lot of folks got trouble all around the world, and they've got trouble in their mind. But God, I am glad as we gather together tonight. God, no matter how small or how big the body of Christ is, I am glad, Lord, You made us a promise. And God, if You are for us, who can be against us? God, if You're for me, thank God, who can be against me? Amen. And Lord, I pray tonight, God, You'd help us. And God, I pray, make the words of God come alive off the pages of God. Lord, You know my human frailty. God, You know what I am. And Lord, unless You help us, we are in trouble. Father, I love You tonight. I ask You help one more time. In Christ's name, I humbly beg and ask. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I started thinking about this, of course, been preaching on. If God's for us, who can be against us? And we look at through the text that there is Abraham. And Abraham shows us the part of salvation. That he has predestination. That he is according to the foreknowledge of God. And then we find that there's Isaac. And Isaac shows us about the calling and what it looks like. And for thy seed to be called out of that thing. And the man, Lord, was a helping us there. And now we come to this text. And I want you to notice, not only have we seen whomever He predestinated, them He also called. But it says after that, them He also called. It says them He also justified. Amen. And boy, I like that word, thank God. I mean, listen, He said those whom He called, them He justified. And that is a promise, friend. And that whoever comes to God, and in no wise cast them out. Whoever called on the name of God, and thank God there's no way you'd go back home an empty-handed, friend. But the God of glory would justify us right where we was at. I thought about how justification, He did not use Abraham to show us what justification looks like. He didn't use Isaac to show us what justification looks like. But He used old Jacob over here. And you said, preacher, why would He use that? If the justification was from Abraham, and we'd all probably said there's no way. Abraham was a man who came out of the Ur of the Chaldees and thank God followed God even when he wasn't saved. I'd never be able to be an Abraham if he used justification in order to be Isaac. And we'd have said there's none of us would have laid down our life like old Isaac did. But that's not the picture in the Old Testament. And you know who he uses? He uses probably the worst character in the book of Genesis and to show us what justification looks like. He uses us somebody. And to not listen to me, friend. He uses somebody. And that was a terrible person. He
is a terrible husband. He is a terrible father. As a matter of fact, he's a terrible follower. He is a terrible son. About everywhere you look at Jacob's life, he was sorry, amen. Except he done one thing real good, amen. He got justified, thank God. And y'all just stop right there and clear you off about a half acre and say, thank God, thank God. And God justifies folks that are wicked as hell, amen. I say amen to that. I want you to understand, friend, here's the question. And what's it look like for him to be justified? In Genesis 27, we find that Jacob shows us what it looks like. How that sinner, how somebody who's as wicked as he is, he shows us how in the world that we can be justified. And now these are all types and shadows, you understand. And so you'll just have to bear with me. But some of these types and shadows, I mean, they'll make you so happy that you can't hardly stand it. I've got about 3 days worth of preaching to do in about 30 minutes. And so you just hang tight with me, all right? Here's what the Bible says in Genesis number 27. In Genesis 27, and we come to this place, and old Isaac, he's about ready to die, and he's getting ready to bless his children. And listen, and old Rebecca hears about it, and she says, we're going to get you the blessing. And thank God, I'm glad there was somebody one day who decided that they would get me a blessing, amen. I'm glad that there was a person way back yonder, thank God, who said, I'm going to get for you what you cannot get for yourself. You don't have the means to get it. You don't have the know-how to get it. And so I believe I'll just take it for you. And that's what happens in this story. And what the Bible says in Genesis 27, at verse number 6, it says, Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, and said, behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau, and thy brother saying, bring me some venison, make me savory meat. He said, I may eat and bless thee before the Lord, and before my death, verse 9. He said, go down to the flock, and fetch me from thence two good kids of the goats, and I will make them a savory meat for thy father, as such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father, and that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. I tell you what happens right here, friend. Here's old Jacob, and just sorry, no doubt, a deceiver and a trickster. And I thank God, ain't got no way to make God happy. Ain't got no way to make his father happy. But Brother Chase, there's somebody that said, I'll tell you this, I know what'll make him happy. I know what he likes. I know what to bring to him. And this is what Rebecca said. And she said, I'll just go make it. And the only thing you got to do is bring him what I have made for you. Amen. And I don't know about get too excited about that. But that's what salvation looks like. And God's not looking for you to do anything. Amen. He's not looking for you to earn anything. I'll tell you what he's looking for you to do. He's looking for you to bring back to the Father what the Son has already done. Amen. Hey, listen, thank God. God don't need you to do anything else, thank God. And the Son of God's already done it. Hey, you just got to present to the Father what the Son done. That's how you get justified. Amen. Oh, yes, listen, it gets better than that. I thought, first of all, we get justified because of the works of somebody else. But then in verse 15, the Bible says this. It says, Rebekah took a goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which was in her house, and they put them on Jacob, her younger son. And so not only do we get justified by the works of somebody else, but we get justified by the wardrobe of somebody else. Thank God. Yes, sir. Amen. Thank God. Hey, you just let that sink down in your heart. Hey, listen, Rebekah knew he was a deceiver. And Rebekah knew that Jacob didn't deserve it. And she said, this is what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to take the garments off of your brother that he loves, and I'm going to take your older brother. I'm going to take your next kinsman. I'm going to take the near kinsman, and I'm going to cover you up with his garments, and then your father's going to accept you. Amen. Hey, thank God. Listen to me, friend. That's what happened with the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, you understand tonight that you couldn't be justified in your own garments. It took the God of heaven, and he clothed us in his elder brother's garments, in our elder brother's garments. It took off him, thank God. That's why our lives are hid with Christ in God. We have put on, friend, and the righteousness of God. And so we've got justified, and not just by somebody else's good works, but we got justified How about somebody else's good wardrobe? Amen. I thought about this. We even got justified. How about somebody else's good witness? And watch what happens in verse 18. He came unto his father and said, My father. He said, Here am I. Who art thou, my son? And Jacob said to his father, He said, I am Esau, thy firstborn. I tell you what happens in that text of scripture real good. Yes, that whenever old Jacob comes in that place, he knows he would be rejected by his own name. And so he comes in the name of the brother that is accepted. Amen. Yes, sir. Thank God. You just sat home sometime. Now, don't keep frowning at me over that. It ain't going to get no better than that. Praise God. You come in the house of God, and there's no chance you'd ever be justified except you come in somebody else's name. Amen. Hey, you've got no access to heaven. Hey, you've got no access to the Father. Hey, you've got no access to an inheritance. And the only hope you have is to come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now you all already know this. But here's one of my favorite things in the Bible. Let's watch what he says here. And when he gets ready to say it, in verse number 22, it said, Jacob went near unto Isaac, his father, and he failed him. And he said, The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. Amen. How you read that sometime going down the road? Let's see if it don't make you at least a little happy. That the father looks over where he's at, and he was not confused about whose voice he was hearing. He knew whose voice he was hearing, Ty. He said, That's Jacob's voice. He said, Come over here just a little bit. And thank God he got a hold of his hands. He said, You know, understand Isaac, his eyes was dim. And so he starts feeling them hands, and he hears the voice. He said, That's Jacob's voice. But them's Esau's hands. And because them's Esau's hands, I'm going to accept the person that's in it. Amen. Hey, you understand? That's what happens to us when we pray, is that we come before God. And God is not confused about whose voice it is calling out. He's not some senile grandpa that's sitting up there in the heavens front. He knows who it is. Amen. But thank God, because of the hands of somebody else, he accepts us and justifies us. That's pretty good, thank God. I'm telling you, he shows us a picture of how you go about getting justified, how you get it through the wardrobe, through the works, and through the witness of somebody else. If you ever come in your own name, hey, you'll be cast out. But if you'll just come in his, amen, and just throw it down. And you say, Preacher, I've been wicked. And so was he. And you say, I'm no good. And so was he. And you say, I'll never be right. I'm telling you, thank God he had problems for you. But at the end of the day, he was justified, and there wasn't nothing anybody could do about it, amen. That's right. I'm saying this, you get justified by the good grace of God. Once God's for you, and thank God, who can't be against you? Amen. That's pretty good, ain't it? I don't care. Look here, friend. It doesn't make any difference. I haven't thought about this. You understand that even whenever the Lord's talking about them, he always says this. He always changes Abraham's name from Abram to Abraham. He says, but the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac. But when he gets to that last one, he always says Jacob. He doesn't talk about how he changed his name. He takes you back to the fact that even whenever old Jacob was an old trickster and deceiver, that the God was still the God of him. Amen. That's pretty good, thank God. I'll give you 3, 4, 5 things tonight about what happens for you when you're justified. I hope it'll be a blessing in your mind. And thank God when God gets to being for you, friend, that God's on your side. If you're just, I'm talking about thank God, if you're justified by the good grace of God, justified fully, and justified freely, and justified faithfully. And you say, Preacher, how do we get there? And you just do what Jacob did, thank God. And you just present yourself before God and before the Father on the merits of the Son, and that'll get you justified. And thank God, listen, I say this every time. I'm going to say it again tonight, thank God. It'll do us all good to be mindful of it. And justified, you know, that's a clever saying, and I like it. It makes me happy. If some preacher's preaching, he says, and I'm going to amen him. But justified's being better than just as if I'd never done it. That's okay. But justification is better than that. Justification ain't just as if you'd never done it. Just as if you'd never done it. That simply takes you back to a state of innocency. that's not good enough to get into heaven. Amen. Hey, you still got to have more than that. And so justification is not just taking your sins away. It's putting the righteousness of God on it. It's removing your debt and it's putting on His assets. Amen. And now I thank God. I'm telling about to preach my own self happy in a minute. And about three quarters of you look like you're miserable. I'm telling you, thank God. In the house of God, there ain't nothing better than walking in the house of God today and saying, I'm justified, and there ain't nothing the Baptist can do about it. Ain't nothing the devil can do about it. Hold on to your hats. Ain't even nothing I can do about it. Amen. I'm justified. And God said it was so. I believe the Bible. Thank God. I'm going to take what God said all the way to heaven. Amen. That's pretty good, ain't it? Amen. I'll say this, when you're justified, hey, you can face the seasons in your life. And knowing if God's for you, who can be against you? I want you to understand there's some things you're going to have to go through. And that Jacob does from Jacob, or from the book of Genesis 28, all the way over to chapter 31. He leads a pretty rough life, friend. Hey, some things messed up in Jacob's life. But I want to tell you some things that'll happen. It don't matter where you go in life. And once you're justified by the good grace of God, I mean, once the God of glory has made you right in His standing, I tell you, there ain't nothing you can do to change that. Amen. I mean, you can't get out of it. It's a unilateral contract. Hey, you didn't put your name on it, and you can't take your name off of it. Hey, you say, how'd I get in it? Hey, you got crucified, and you can't crucify yourself. It takes somebody else to crucify you. You say, who done that? The Holy Ghost of God did. Amen. And God came, put you on the cross. Hey, you identified with His Son in His death. Hey, you identified with His Son in his burial. Hey, you identified with His Son in His resurrection. And once you're identified with Christ, hey, you can't be unidentified with Christ. Amen. And so I'll say this to you. In Jacob's life, one thing that he told him before he ever entered into any trouble. And watch what he says in Genesis 28:15. I'm going to go quickly, but I promise you this will read the same way in every King James Bible that there is. Amen. And verse 15 says this. He said, and behold, I am with thee, and I will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again unto this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. Once you're justified by the good grace of God, and there ain't nowhere you can ever go that His presence don't go with you. Amen. Thank God. You say, preacher, what happens when I'm up to no good? And well, up to no good or not, His presence still goes. You ought to be real careful where you take Him, though. Amen. Thank God. Ought to be real careful. Thank God. Listen, friend. I ought to be real careful not to be in the... I say this all the time. But I ought to be real careful not to be, talking about the Lord down at the Cotton Eye Joe or down at the local beer joint. Hey, y'all understand that's right, ain't it? Thank God. Look here. Listen, let me say this to you. Everybody hold on to you right here. I've heard this about so many times lately. It's about to get on my nerves. I heard a fellow talk about the other day. And there's a casino hall up in Williamsburg. And they'll say, now we ain't going in there to gamble. And we just like the food. Amen. Well, thank God. I promise you that's not true. Amen. Liking the food at a casino hall. That's about the same as liking sushi from a gas station. Amen. That don't make any sense, friend. Hey, listen, you're lying to yourself, neighbor. Amen. And there's better steaks on down the road. That probably ought not just to, drag the good name of Christ in the gambling hall. Wouldn't you say that's right? Amen. Just trying to figure out how many folks feel like that's right. Amen. Oh, yes, that's the truth. Thank God. But He didn't make us a promise. It don't matter where we go. He said, I will go with thee. Amen. And that was a promise He made to Jacob. That's the same promise made to every believer that's ever been justified. I've heard folks say this. They'll say, listen. And they said, the Lord never left me. But I sure left Him. And that don't even make sense. Amen. And now listen to me, friend. I'll do with this whatever you want to. I understand sometimes there's a fellowship and that fellowship's broken. But how in the world, where did you go exactly to get away from God? I mean, listen, where did you go? How you must have went beyond the universe. I must have went beyond the galaxies. I passed all the Milky Way. I passed where God is. I mean, where did you go exactly that you got away from God? Oh, no, listen, you might sit in the house of God and be without fellowship. fellowship. That God might withdraw, thank God, have some of that sweet intimate time. But as far as being justified and the presence of God being with you, He made a promise, and it don't matter what you say, and it don't matter what I say. I'm going to heaven based on what He said, and He said He never would leave us. Amen. That's pretty good. If anybody in here is giving Him reason to, I have. Amen. And no doubt there's a lot of Jacobs in this room, and we've all give Him reason to just forsake us. But thank God, I'm glad that He made us a promise. I'm saying this, friend, look here. And not only did He make Him a promise, but I thought about this. I mean, God in all of His. I mean, whenever God's for you, it don't matter if Laban's against you. Here's what the Bible says in Genesis 30, verse number 27. He said, "For I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake." I mean, thank God. Listen, friend, the Bible said in verse 9, "And thus God hath taken away the cattle of your father, and He hath given them to me." I'm going to say this, once you've been justified, and not only will He always have His presence with you, but God always provides for His own. Amen. How old Jacob left out. You know what he left his father's house with? Hallelujah, thank God. You know what he left his father's house with? Hey, this is what he said. He said, "I left with a staff in my hand." Brother John, that's all he had. He didn't have but nothing to eat. He didn't have no place to sleep. He didn't have nothing for the journey ahead of him. All he had was a staff in his hand. But there's a God in heaven said, "That's all you need." Thank God. And you just walk with me, praise God. And if you're justified, listen, friend. I mean, the good news about it is, if you're justified by the good grace of God, there'll never be a time that God will not provide for His own. Amen. And not never. There'll never be even a time that God will ever have to go out to the world to provide for His own. The devil never has. I mean, the Lord never has had to look for the devil to take care of any of His children. It don't work like that. I said the other day, I think I was in revival. I may have said it here. Wherever I said it needs to be said again. And thank God, a bunch of no count and no good dads. A friend that listen, hey, leave kids all over the world, won't take care of none of them. That's not our Heavenly Father. He takes care of His own. Amen. Hey, you'll not have to sue Him for child support. And thank God, you'll not have to worry about, will He pay the bills? How will He feed His kids? How will He clothe them? Amen. I'm sitting here, thank God. Where I stand at tonight, I can lift both hands in the air and say as they sing that song, "And my God's taken a real good care of me." Amen. I'm saying, friend, God will take care of us. Amen. Listen, when you're justified, don't matter who's against you. Laban was against him. Laban tricked him. Gave him another bride, one that he didn't want. I thank God, listen, he changed his wages 10 times. Every time he tried to change his wages. Now listen, and this is just something for y'all to, it's something for y'all to think about, maybe go down the road and to just talk to yourself about. Hey, so many folks, and they're trying to go about this thing backward, and they're trying to gain the riches of the world and all those things away from Christ. But I'll tell you what God done for Jacob. Whenever God got a blessing, Jacob, and my friend and old Laban would change him. And Laban said, "You can have the ring straight." And he said, "No, I'll take the speckled." Hey, you know what? By the providence of God, every little calf that was born that year was, every one of them was ring straight. And then he changed his wages. He said, "All right, here's how we're going to do it now." He said, "I'll keep the ring straight and you get the speckled one." And guess what was born that year? Amen. And the speckled one, thank God. I'm telling you, friend, I've heard them folks say that. And you know that old saying. And they said, "Listen, friend, I mean, I'm telling you, I'm such a winner in Christ that I ain't never been able to lose." Amen. I mean, I'm not talking about that. I've lost my heart in a lot of different things, but I'm talking about spiritually. I'm coming up on the winning side every single time. Amen. It don't matter what the devil throws you away. It don't matter what kind of hell you have to face. It don't matter what enemy you have to stare down. At the end of this thing, you'll come out the other side and thank God be better off than they ever thought about being. Amen. You better believe that's right. God will take care of His own. He promised Him His prayer. He promised Him His presence. He promised Him His provision. I want you to watch this. Whenever he gets down there, Laban comes after him one night and he's mad. But in verse 24, this is what the Bible said. He said, "And God came to Laban the Syrian in a dream by night, and He said unto him, 'Take heed that thou speak not to Jacob either good or bad.'" I mean, God will protect His own too. Amen. Just mark this down straight and tall. Hey, you don't have to defend yourself. If somebody says something bad about about you on Facebook. Hey, you know how that works in these days, amen. You know, if they post something bad about you, secretively or whatever that is. Hey, you ain't got to get on that. Listen to me. Let me just help our whole church right now. Let me just help everybody in here, all right? Hey, this ought to be a drama-free church, amen. Let me just say it like that. So if somebody gets on Facebook, and you know, and they post something bad about you, hey, you ain't got to, you know, start a bunch of drama right underneath that so that the whole world can watch a bunch of Christians going back and forth at that thing. That's real good preaching, Brother Kevin. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm saying this to you. Thank God for it. Where you stand at today, hey, you ain't got to defend your own self. If you're justified by the good grace of God, hey, you ought to commit your reputation, hey, your character, and your name unto Christ. Hey, you don't have to say nothing. Hey, you say, I need to stand up for myself. You mean like Christ did when he was up there and they was being tempted? And listen, there's all hurling at him. That false accusations. Hey, you remember what he said? What the Bible said about him? It said when he was reviled, he reviled not again. And when he was threatened, he suffered not. But he committed himself unto him that judgeth righteously. Amen. He answered them not a word. Amen. You ain't got to defend yourself. Just commit that thing unto God. That was free. That was free. Thank God, listen, I don't know where that came from, praise God, but it's right. It's right. It's right. I don't know what happens. Christians get on Facebook and they forget they're Christians. Brothers and sisters in Christ, you ain't got to comment on everything. Hallelujah. I better move on, hadn't I? Listen, ain't nothing wrong with Facebook as long as you're using it for a tool. You start using it for a toy, it'll get you.
Yep.
There's five people felt like that was right. However many's here, they know it's right down in here. Amen. I'll guarantee what I said's right. Say, preacher, we're going to set on you rest of the service. Do it. God's for me, who can be against me? I'm preaching anyhow. Make me no difference. Amen. I'm telling you, whenever you go out and you start facing, hallelujah. That helps some of you out there, didn't it? Amen. And the Bible says this. I got to go on. Hey, when you go out and you start facing the seasons, I thank God if God's for you, who can be against you? Everybody start thinking about this. Whenever you're justified, you can face your own sins. Amen. I face your own sins, thank God. It's pretty good to be justified. And when the devil starts hurling up all the sins of your past, how you can stare at them eyeball to eyeball, thank God. And say, what sins are you talking about? I've been justified fully by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You say, what's that look like? Well, it looks like this in the life of Jacob. Bible says over there in chapter number 32, watch this. In chapter number 32, it says in verse number 4, said, he commanded them, saying, thus shall you speak unto my Lord Esau. Thy servant saith, I have sojourned with Laban, stayed there and until now. I've oxen, asses, flocks, men servants, women servants. I've said to tell my Lord that I may find grace in thy sight. You know what he's doing? The last time he saw his brother was going to kill him. His brother's going to murder him. His sins was going to cause him to die. Thank God, listen, Jacob's been running scared from his past. There's a lot of Christians that are in that place. They've been paralyzed by what's behind them. But there came a time in old Jacob's life when Jacob had to face his sins head on. Hey, you say, preacher, how'd he face them? I want to say this to y'all. Listen to me real good. This will be real simple preaching. I'm not going to claim to do nothing big, but I feel pretty good in my heart tonight. Number one says, he dealt with them truthfully. Amen. And listen to me, friend. And when he came back, he told Esau exactly what he was. He told him exactly where he'd been. He told him exactly what God had done. He didn't leave nothing out. Amen. Hey, you know how you'll deal with your past? At some point in time, you'll just have to fess up to it. I say, listen, I agree with your adversary quickly. I say, you're right about everything you said. I wish I could remember the lyrics of that song right there. And thank God. But at the end of this thing, they're all under the blood. Amen. I'm glad to report to you, if you've been justified, and the devil can bring it up, and the Baptist can bring it up, you can even remember it. But once you put it under the blood, it's gone, friend. Gone. G-O-N-E. Gone. Amen. Ain't that right? Thank God. I'll tell you, he answered him truthfully. And I thought about this. He answered him with mercy. He said, I'm not worthy of the least of thy mercies. He read down there about five verses. That's what he says. He said, I'm not worthy of the least of your mercy. You say, how do you deal with your past when you're justified? I deal with it with truth, and I deal with it with mercy. I say, thank God I am what God said I am, and it's not what God said it was. Amen. Have you get mercy in your life, friend? Have mercy. Don't give you what you deserve. And thank God we're all sitting in this place. I'll be happy as we can be, because God's not rewarding a one of us according to our iniquities. Amen. He's not dealt with any of us according to our transgressions. If he had of, we'd all be in hell with a broke back, with the gates closed forever. But thank God, thank God. And God gave us mercy. Amen. I'm pretty happy about that. Listen, I'll tell you how else he dealt with it. He dealt with it by grace. Pretty good. Watch this. Watch your Bibles. Listen, let me say this to you. Well, it is what it is. Verse chapter 33, here the Bible says verse 8. Those are a bunch of real good numbers for folks who like numbers. There's two threes. That's divine perfection on top of divine perfection. Then there's a verse 8 right here. That's a new beginning because of divine perfection. Do with that whatever you want to. But verse 8, he says this. He said, what meanest thou by this drove which I met? He said, these are to find grace in the sight of my Lord. You know how you deal with your past sins. You deal with them truthfully. You deal with them mercifully. And you deal with them gracefully. Amen. And whenever the devil brings it up, you take him to truth. When the devil brings it up, you remind him of mercy. When the devil brings it up, you prove to him there's grace. Amen. When you're justified, if God's for you, who can be against you? Amen. Y'all at least smile at me on that one. Everybody smile at me. Praise God. I mean, just standing where we're standing at feels pretty good. And I mean, even when you're preaching in Baptist churches sometimes and everybody else is against you, God's still for you. Hallelujah. I'm going to say this to you. There's some seasons you're going to have to face, and it'll help you to remember if you're saved that you're justified in them. There's some sins you're going to have to face, and it'll help you whenever you deal with those sins to be mindful that, thank God, if you're justified, if God's for you, who can be against you? But I'll tell you what, the greatest victory that he ever got in his life, it wasn't in those seasons and it wasn't over his sins. It was whenever justification helped him deal with his own self. Amen. There came a time in his life, listen, I don't know where anybody else stands. I don't really have a problem going through seasons sometimes. I mean, I do. I've got problems. Listen, I'm not trying to act like I don't. I've got some, but you know, by and large, I can thank, man, God, listen, this thing's going to shake down. I'm checking out of here one day. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to be happy in the Lord. That's going to be a good day. And so I don't have too much proof of that. I told you the other night, listen, every time I adjust my rearview mirror, I'm reminded there's mercy and grace following me all the days of my life. I mean, my sins, they bother me in my mind sometimes. But I can take them to the book. I can get victory over them. But I'll tell you who I have a problem with an awful lot of the time. Hey, thank God it's believing in myself. I don't have no problem believing God can justify you. I don't have no problem believing you are justified. I don't have any problem preaching to you about what God can do for your sins. But when it comes to what I am, and there's where my problem lies. That's where it's at. You say, what about you, preacher? Well, if God's for me, I mean, his word's true, and it don't make no difference. Thank God. Listen, let God be true and let every man be a liar. Amen. Listen, let me say this to you. I'll give you three or four things. I'm going to be done. And you pray for us real quick. Here's what the Bible says. There came a day that Jacob, he had already faced every season. He is getting ready to face, and he is prepared to face all of his sins. But here comes this point in time in his life when he has to face his own self. He's over by the brook, friend. And the Bible says in verse 22, of chapter 32, he rose up that night, took his two wives, two women servants, 11 sons, passed over the brook Jabbok. He took them, sent them over the brook, and he sent over that he had. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said unto him, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. And he said, what is thy name? He said, it's Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince, thou hast power with God and with men, and thou hast prevailed. I'm going to say this to you, friend. At some point in time, you're going to have to come to the terms of the fact that you have not earned your inheritance. And the only reason God's done anything for you is that you're justified. Amen. He tried to get something from somebody about every way he knew how. He tried to steal it, and that didn't work. He tried to work for it, and that didn't work either. He stole it from his brother, tried to work from it from Laban. None of those worked. Here's Jacob, still miserable. But on this day, the Bible says that he received a blessing. You know what happens, friend? When you come to terms with the fact that you'll never be good enough to earn any of this. You've never looked at me. You'll never earn it. You'll never work hard enough for it. You'll either come in and worship as a free gift, or you'll never be able to do it. And so we sit here on a Wednesday night, and you say, some of us sit here, some of us ain't, amen. We sit here in this place on a Wednesday night, and as we sit here, we look over and we say, man, that feller's earned it, and that person ain't, and that person's good enough to worship, and that person ain't. And if we done all that, you know who would worship in here tonight?
Nobody.
But it's mighty good. Listen, can I tell you this? You don't even have to approve of the fact if I'm right with God. I don't have to have your approval on this. That'll help a whole lot of Baptist worship. They'll say, somebody get ready to get happy in the Lord, you know. And about the time they get happy, they'll say, you know what they done last month? What about what you done today? Somebody help me a little more on that one right there. What about, did you live good enough today? Really? Hey, some folks in here, they say, yeah, I really did live good enough today. And the fact that you're so full of pride you say that is the fact you did not live good enough today. Amen. And so thank God. Listen, I understand. One of the things we're going to have to do whenever we expand the church and do whatever we're going to do, however we're going to do it, one thing we're going to do is we're going to build one entry just a little bit bigger for the folks that their wings are a little too wide and their halos are a little too high, so that when they come in there, they can all congregate together and we all know who they are, so the rest of us can just walk in the house of God and say, I know I ain't earned it. I know I don't deserve it. And the only reason tonight and that I'm anything is because there's a God in heaven that lets me be that. Amen. Amen. Listen, I'll tell you what happened. Jacob's life, he figured out that his inheritance didn't come from anything he did. And when you realize that, I'm sure nobody else in here has problems. I got saved by grace through faith. Is that how you got saved? I'm going to run that by you one more time because I need a little more help on that. You got saved by grace through faith. If you're saved, is that right or not right? Son, is that right? Ain't that right, Davis? Amen. Listen, nodding heads don't help sometimes. You've got to need to hear amens. That's biblical. That's how you got it. That's how you got it. We got saved by grace through faith, and then we've been trying to work it out ever since. I ain't talking about sanctification. I know we got to work out what God's worked in. I understand that. I'm talking about, you come and you say, well, if I read my Bible for an hour today, I'm right with God. Y'all ain't got them checklists, do you? Said, if I prayed, you go pray and you look at the clock. You looked at the clock before you started praying. You looked at the clock when you got done.
Go ahead. Yes. You're doing real good.
Said, I prayed for 15 minutes today, Lord. Ain't nobody in here ever done that, I don't guess. if you prayed for 30 minutes, you're more spiritual than if you prayed for 5. Didn't matter about what you said or didn't say. It wasn't about the conversation. It was about the time. Guilty. 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 How much of your Bible you got to read to be right? Y'all help me tonight. Y'all help me. If we're going to go based on works and deeds, how much did you have to read to be right? One verse do it?
One chapter? One book? The whole thing? How much? How much? So you say, what do you do, preacher? I take all that weight off of me. Because all that is Phariseeism and legalism. Now listen to me. Don't put this thing in the other ditch. If you're right with God, there's a desire in here to pray. But it's not to get through a checklist and get done. It's to commune with your friend. If you're saved, you got a desire for this right here. And it's not to say I read four chapters a day so I can read through my Bible four times this year. It's to say I really care about what God wants to say to me. And so I pray so I can talk to Him, and I read so He can talk to me. And both those things are about fellowship between me and Him. And listen, then when you come in here and all the weight's gone, then you really can be happy in the Lord. All right, well, I'm going to have to move on. I'll tell you when you realize this, when you realize your identity's been changed, not because of anything you've ever done. Nope. You know who Jacob had a problem with was Jacob. His name means deceiver, supplanter, trickster. He was no count. He was no count. And despite how far he had run, he couldn't outrun his name. Despite how much he did, preacher, he couldn't do enough to get him another name. But ain't it amazing? Listen, one night spent with the Lord.
Yeah. Amen.
One night spent with God.
Yes, sir.
And his inheritance changed and his identity changed.
Yes, sir.
That night, listen, all them boys, you know, all them 12 sons and them daughters, they went to bed that night calling him Jacob. And the next day he said, y'all can't call me Jacob no more. He said, I'm Israel now. And they said, Israel. They said, did you just change your name? And he said, no, my father did. And listen, he said, brother, what's that? What are you even talking about? What does that even mean? Here's what that means. Y'all understand that up in heaven somewhere, I don't know how all this works out exactly. I ain't got it all figured out in my mind. And I ain't got it figured out all out in my mind. It's been a happy day in my life when I figured out I don't have to have all the answers.
Right.
Deuteronomy 29:29, the things that are revealed belong unto us and our children. Secret things belong to God.
Right.
There's some things you don't know and you never will know.
Never know.
But I'll tell you what it does say. There is somewhere a white stone.
Yep.
And on that white stone is a... What is it? Tell me that again. Well, there's like five people in here know that. I want more of you to know that. There's a new name. And you say, what is it? Don't know.
Right.
Don't know. I do know this. My boys don't call me what you do.
Yeah.
And my mama don't call me what you do.
Right.
And the people who, you know, knew me when I was a little boy, they sure enough don't call me what you do. They all have different names. And you know what's amazing is it don't matter if it's my mama calling me, my wife, my boys, or the people from my childhood. When they holler out whatever name, I respond to every one of them.
Yep.
And today's going to be a day, if you're justified, that God's going to call that name. And I personally believe whenever we die, I believe that's the name that God will call. The name that only we know. I'm going to say this. I'm done preaching. Stand to your feet. Let me show this to you. Some point in time you're going to have to deal with the fact your inheritance came from God, your identity came from God, your influence came from God.
Right.
Let me say this, and I promise you I'm done preaching. You know what's great about being justified is Israel didn't start off the next day saying, you know what, today I need to fake like I'm walking different. Y'all listen to me? The next day, there'd been such a radical change in his life that he walked different from that day all the way to the day of his death. Is that right or not right? I'll promise you that's the truth. Hebrews chapter 11, it says, by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, he blessed both the sons of Joseph, said, worshiped while leaning upon his staff. You know what that means? That means that one night with God changed his walk before the whole world. for the rest of his life.
Yes.
Listen, I'm going to say this. If your walk's changed, there's something wrong. But I'll promise you, if God's justified you, there's something different down on the inside of your heart.
Amen.
I don't know where you're at. Come, listen, come sing. I'm